All right. All right. And welcome back for the final hour of Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio, on PSN Radio, and I'm also on Alt-Ireland Radio and Paranoia TV. Welcome back. I have a friend and a fellow co-host, and he's the owner and administrator of PSN Radio. First, I'm going to read a little bit of his bio. Angel Espino is his name. Angel is a host of his own radio shows, which are on PSN Radio, as well as producer of music, film, editor, and aspiring film director. Angel Espino, best known in the world as The Jackal, has been entertaining people for years via music radio since the late 90s. After a radio interview in 2008 on a podcast for a friend, which he asked him to turn to be a guest on, he decided to try his hand at online radio since he found it to be a great outlet for his creative mind to flow in a way that he hadn't thought of before. While a lifelong fan of radio talk shows hosted by the likes of Art Bell, Phil Hendry, Neil Rogers, and Slowfo Radio's own George Rodriguez, and a few others, which he enjoyed over the years. I'm going to skip the rest of the bio because it's very, very long. But welcome to the show, Angel.
You know, just listening to you or reading my bio makes me cringe a little bit because my cousin wrote that for me, and I'm like, that's a little long.
It is quite long.
But thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate being on the show tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome very much. I guess I didn't get to read the entire bio, but what made you in the mid to late 90s decide to do what you're doing?
Well, in the 90s, first of all, in the mid 90s, I was playing sports. I used to be a baseball player, and I got injured, and I had to stop playing sports, and I got into making music and DJing and started working with a local rap group here in Florida. And I got the name The Jackal back then. Actually, a friend of mine who passed away of brain cancer gave me the name, and it's why I've used it ever since. There's a whole long story there, but you know, I started, you know, doing music and doing a lot of shows down here in Florida for years. And somewhere in the early 2000s, like 2001 or two, the group broke up and we all kind of went our separate ways. And I started just making music online and you know, doing shows here locally. And we started throwing clubs in South Beach, me and a new group of friends that I had gathered together to do these kind of activities. And we were doing pretty well for a while. And, you know, then in 2008, I struck up a friendship with somebody on Block Talk Radio. And he asked me to be on his show as a guest on the show. And it was a lot of fun. And I started, you know, being asked to come back again and again. And eventually I said, you know what, I should just start my own podcast. This is a lot of fun. And it's really a cool way to really just express whatever is coming to your head that you just want to let out, or any information that you have that you really think is important for people to know. It's a great creative outlet. And it's amazing how the internet has done that for people and has put this format out there that just about anybody now who has a computer and a headset or a phone or a microphone could actually host their own show. And I found that to be really just really engaging, because I was a fan of talk radio for a very long time during the 90s. While playing sports, I used to listen to a lot of sports radio and a lot of comedy radio, like Phil Hendry, which is somebody who you mentioned in the bio. He's one of my all-time favorite radio hosts. If you guys never heard of the Phil Hendry show, you really should like look him up. He's incredibly funny. It was, you know, through humor that I really got into radio. You know, Phil Hendry, George Rodriguez, Neil Rogers, who has passed away, rest in peace. You know, those are the guys that really introduced me to, you know, being a fan of radio. But then I heard, you know, Art Bell in the mid to late 90s, and I was like amazed by what he was talking about, because I was such a fan of the subject from earlier years of ufology. And, you know, just listening to him cover the subject and do what he was doing, it just blew my mind that somebody was doing that on radio, and I became a huge, you know, diehard fan. Till this day, I mean, I'm a huge Art Bell fan, and he really is the main inspiration out of everybody that got me to doing what I'm doing today with PSN Radio and with my shows, Skywatchers Radio, which airs every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 1 a.m. Eastern on PSN Radio and Dark Matter Radio Network. And also the show that I've been doing for the last 5 years, Inside the Jackal's Head, which airs every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern And they're a lot of fun. I mean, radio is a lot of fun. It is a really great creative outlet, though. For anybody who is even interested in it, I suggest you try it out because you'll be blown away by how much fun it really, truly is.
Yeah, and besides the all of our critics and our detractors, if they try to think, they might not be so critical or detracting of us, would they?
No, not really. You know, it's funny because I've over the years, I have had a few people who have had issues with me on the internet for different things, you know, just for posting on a blog or something like that. And then they'll go to listen to the shows, and they're like completely turned, you know, they turn a complete 360 when they listen to me speak and they actually listen to what I'm trying to get at. And, you know, it really does change their point of view of me. I've had people who completely hate me turn into big friends and fans of the show, which is pretty comical, but it's happened several times.
Well, I haven't had big critics or detractors. They've been maybe small critics, you know, a little critical thing here and there, but not the really bad trolls that we can get. They flipped and come around to my side, but you know, I've never flipped any trolls or anything like that yet. But
I've had several trolls in my 10 years on you know, internet, and I, when I say internet, I'm talking about like actually putting stuff on the internet. Because remember, I did a lot of stuff online before, but never as putting music online or videos or doing radio shows or stuff like that. It's really been in the last 10 years that I've gotten into that. And it's funny, at first you do get a lot of trolls, and still to this day, I mean, I have trolls that bombard me with stuff all the time. But at the same time, now I'm getting people that are, you know, sending me, you know, great emails thanking me for the shows that we're doing and saying how much they enjoy what we do. And see, that's really what makes it all worthwhile, though, to get people that send you positive stuff and positive feedback of what you're doing, because it really makes it all worth it. It makes it, you know, it makes you want to continue to do this kind of stuff. The trolls are always going to be there, especially the more successful you get at whatever. You know, you're going to have trolls and you're going to have haters. You know, wherever there's a successful person, there's a pack of haters waiting just to bash on them. That's just the way it is.
There is. yeah. I don't know. You mentioned the paranoia, the paranormal.
I do have a lot of that.
Yeah. The paranormal and the ufology are your biggest subjects that you cover. What are some of the best things that you've come across?
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of ufology, more than even anything else in the paranormal. Like, I'm not really big on the whole Bigfoot phenomenon or, like, Loch Ness Monster or even ghosts or goblins or demons. Like, that stuff doesn't really interest me as much. I'm not really a huge believer in all that stuff. But I do entertain people who come on the show, and I let them speak out, you know, whatever their story is. I let them, you know, tell the audience and make, you know, let the audience really decide for themselves if this is real or not. So I don't judge anybody who's on my show. I let them really express whatever their story is. But as, you know, personally, I'm more into the science, and I'm more into like the ufology stuff. And there's a lot of truth in there, but there's also a lot of bogus and nonsense in there, which I do like to expose some of that, because it really does cloud the field, so to speak, you know. You know, some of the more, the way I could describe it, I guess, more realistic cases that I would say that are the cases that I like to cover are like the Travis Walton case or Roswell, you know, cases like that. They have actually some meat to the backbone of it. It's not just, so I had a dream, and in my dream, I had a vision of this alien that came down and took me away. You know, it's not one of those. I mean, there's, you know, some hard, concrete evidence behind these cases. And that's really what I like to cover the most. In fact, Travis Walton is, set to be back on my show on the 22nd here on Skywatchers Radio. I mean, he's an amazing guest to have on, and one of the most credible people, I think, in the entire field of ufology.
You've had him on once, haven't you?
I've actually been on air with Travis about 3 times, maybe 4 times now. I can't really recall.
Okay.
I've had him on my show originally, which is really funny because I had Travis on back in 2009, and he was just an amazing guest to have. And that's when I was really first starting out the whole internet radio stuff.
Go ahead and explain. Well, I'll let you finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I had Travis on in 2009, and you know, I was just starting out. Like I said, it was really my first year of doing my own podcast, and he was really gracious enough to be on my show and entertain me, because I was horrible back then. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, and you know, he was really nice. And just over the years, you know, we kind of kept corresponding back and forth via email and on Facebook and stuff. And we've spoken a few times, and he's really just one of the most genuine, nice people in that you could ever meet. And he's been on a couple other shows that I've produced over the years, like Unraveling the Secrets. He was on that show when Dennis and Rick were the host on the show, and I was producing for them, and I was on air with them. He's been on that show. He's been on a couple other shows that I've produced, but he hasn't been back on my show until now. He's going to be back on the 22nd. And really, you know, it's always an honor to have him on. I mean, he's really, like I said, one of the most genuine people that you're going to meet in the field of ufology. I mean, this is a guy who didn't want this fame that he's been thrusted upon. You know, he didn't want this kind of a life. And it's just something that he has to live with. And if you talk to him, you'll change really your opinion of whatever negativity you have of his case or whatever. And a lot of people do have their biased opinions of what happened to Travis and this and that. But when you really talk to the guy and you get to know him for several years, it really just changes completely whatever negative opinion you might have had of his case or whatever. And I 100% believe that he went through what he said he went through. I mean, I have no doubts of that in my mind whatsoever. So it's really cases like his. Roswell, obviously, something happened there. We know that something did crash. Whether it was a weather balloon, a UFO, a Nazi spacecraft, whatever it was, something happened at Roswell. It's been covered up. There's been multiple different stories over the last, six decades. They just keep changing the stories.
Almost seven.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that nothing happened there. Something did happen. And, you know, what it was, I don't think we'll ever know until we get full disclosure, which leads me to another person that I love having on my show, Stephen Bassett, the ambassador, really, for disclosure. You know, this man has been fighting a very good fight in a very long war for almost 2 decades now, trying to get the government to disclose what they know about aliens. And, you know, I don't know if in his life he'll ever see that, unfortunately. But I think what he's doing now will lead to the full disclosure that he wants down the road. He is really laying the seeds for that one day happen. So,
the reason I interrupted you a couple of minutes ago was I wanted you to explain to the people out there who don't know who Travis Walton is. What his story was.
Wow. If you're interested in ufology at all, I'm pretty sure you know who Travis is. But if, you know, ufology is new to you, Travis Walton is probably the most famous abductee in the history of the world. He was abducted in the mid-70s in Arizona. He was a logger with a logging crew. Right after they had just finished a shift, they were on their way home, and they spotted what looked to them like a fire in the middle of the woods. Now, being loggers and being in that area, you know, small planes have crashed in the woods there, and thinking maybe a small plane crashed, they rushed over to see if they could help whatever survivors might have been there. As they got closer to this thing, it became apparent that this wasn't a plane and it wasn't a fire. As they really approached closely, they realized it was some kind of a saucer, some kind of a round object, sitting there in the middle of the woods, in the middle of some trees. Travis, out of curiosity, jumped out of the truck and ran towards the object to get a better look, while the other guy stood in the truck telling him to not get out of the truck and get back in the truck, you know, just screaming at him. Travis, you know, it's human curiosity. I think I probably would have done the same thing.
There was like, what, three or four other guys?
Right, there was like four other guys in the truck, and they were all screaming their heads off to get back in the truck. Finally, Travis tried to get back in the truck, and as he turned around, he said he felt something like tugging at him, and then some light just came over his body, and he was shocked at something, flew back like 15 feet, and the guys in the truck did what anybody in that situation would do. They took off. I mean, I'm sorry, but if something like that happens,
you can't be helped then, right?
I can't be mad at them. You know, to them, they think he was dead, and they just took off, and they tried to save themselves. And again, Travis, even to this day, has said he's not really mad at them for leaving, because he understands the fear they must have been under.
And they couldn't have done nothing anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's a flying object, man, just sitting there. They just threw a laser beam at your friend. What are you going to do on a truck?
Yeah.
With a chainsaw? Really, this is a no-win situation. You leave and you get the police, which is what they went out to do. I mean, they did the right thing. And, you know, Travis to this day agrees that they did the right thing. And, you know, there was a movie that came out in 93 called Fire in the Sky, which it's really one of the movies that sparked my interest in the entire UFO phenomenon. I was a fan as a kid because I had my own, you know, my own sighting as a kid. Out in California, I saw an object in the sky, which I can't explain as any conventional object. And this thing just flew straight up in the air and just disappeared. So I was always kind of curious about it. And when I saw that movie, I really became just, you know, completely hooked on the subject. And again, then I heard Art Bell many years later and continued my fascination with the subject. But yeah, no, Travis Walton's case is phenomenally well-known in ufology. It's been covered by just about everybody from coast to coast. Art Bell, George Norrie, everybody who's anybody has talked about his case. And like I said, they made a movie about it, which while the movie fibbed a little bit on the actual details of what happened to Travis.
They always do.
They always do. It's Hollywood. You know, that's what Hollywood does. But it was pretty well made. I mean, it was a good movie. It was definitely an entertaining movie. Now, if you really want to know exactly what happened, though, I suggest you read Travis's book. Get the book, read what he put in the book. That's more accurate to anything that the movie ever displayed. And in fact, Travis, when I had him on the show, Stephen, he told me that he really would like to have redone, you know, the scenes that they messed up in the movie, which were the abduction scenes.
Yeah.
He wanted to have that redone or reshot. I told him, well, at this point, you know, it's kind of not really worth it because all the actors are much older. They wouldn't look the same. And he agreed. I mean, there's a chance that one day they might actually redo the entire movie and redo Fire in the Sky, because he really wants something more accurate to what happened and what's actually in the book, which is, you know, just goes to show the authentic, you know, nature of this man. If there was no authenticity to this story, he would just go along with whatever Hollywood put out there and just, you know, just change his tune. But no, you know, he's upset that they didn't put in the movie what really happened to him and what's in the book. And like I said, other than that, the movie's great, but it does have, you know, its flaws. And I hope Travis does get one day to make another Fire in the Sky feature film.
Certainly, certainly. What are your thoughts or what are your feelings on the aliens?
Well, on the aliens that Travis encountered in the book?
No, just in general, yeah.
Well, see, that's kind of a long-winded answer.
Well, we got,
I would have to give you here because
we got 35 minutes.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of the alien stuff, I believe, that is that people report are either misreporting. You know, and I'm talking about just crafts and sightings. A lot of that stuff is either people that mistaking one thing for UFOs, or government aircraft that they have that, you know, we just don't know about, like black budget projects and things like that. Now, with that said, I do think that there are aliens that have come to Earth before. I'm not denying that some aliens are real and some aliens are here, and that Travis was abducted and that other people have been abducted. And there are, you know, some sort of, there's some truth, I believe, to the whole phenomenon. And I think there is an iota of a lot of truth to the ufology phenomenon. But the thing is, there's a lot of hoaxing in ufology also. I don't know. I don't have an answer for like what the alien's agenda is, because I've never met an alien, sadly enough. I would love to meet an alien. Unfortunately, they haven't taken me yet. I'm not one of the chosen ones. So I really don't know exactly what their agenda is. And I would never go on air and say, well, I know they want this and that for the planet. And every time I hear somebody say that on a radio show or something, I cringe, because I'm like, well, really, if they really had this kind of a message, why don't they come out themselves and say it already? What's with all the secrecy?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And why channel through a human?
Yeah, there's no need to channel through a human. Just land in the White House lawn and, you know, start speaking.
Exactly.
Get it out of the way already.
If they could dodge the bullets.
Well, then there's that too. That's, you know, but here's the thing, though. I don't even think that would happen anymore, Stephen. I think, honestly, we've come to a point that I don't think humans are that afraid if an alien walks out of a spaceship and doesn't immediately have a gun in its hand. You know, if an alien comes out and he looks like he's not ready to kill anybody, I think we've come to a point where we would listen and hear him out if he could even speak to us.
Certainly.
You know, I think we've come to that point. You know, society's changed their tune when it comes to aliens. You know, 100 years ago, nobody believed in extraterrestrial life. It was all just fantasy. Now, about what, 80-90% of the population believes that we've been visited, or there is some life out there, or the, you know, the government is lying to us about what they know. Or
are the numbers that high?
Yeah, it's pretty high. I mean, the statistics are pretty high up. There's like 80% or something like that. It's around that, at least in the U.S. Which, I mean, that's, look, even the Vatican now admits that, yeah, aliens are probably real.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is no shocking secret that it's becoming globalized, the belief in aliens and extraterrestrial life. And, you know, look, we're on a rock going around a sun in the, you know, in a solar system that is traveling around and around in a spiral galaxy, and we're proof that aliens exist.
Yeah.
Just the fact that we're here, we're proof that aliens exist. We're aliens.
Yeah. You know,
terrestrials, but to another race, we're the aliens.
Sure. What do you think about what do you think about the alien Earth insemination theory out there?
Well, explain to me that. I don't understand.
There's a lot of people out there that think aliens back hundreds of thousands of years ago, maybe like 3 or 4 or 500,000 years ago, inseminated the Earth or started the mixing of DNA with the monkeys.
Well, yeah, that's all nice theories and stuff, but there's no real evidence behind any of that. It's just more people with hypotheses and theories and sure. whatnot. The reality of the matter is, look, we're finding out all kinds of different things with our DNA and what we're made of and whatnot. And there's a very good chance now with what we're understanding about our solar system that panspermia is real.
Okay, that's called.
Yeah, that, you know, that we are seeded from comets and all kinds of things that are bombarding planets all the time. There could be life that traveled from Mars, from a meteor that hit Mars and traveled and then parts of Mars that came over to Earth and landed here, you know, millions of years ago could have helped the evolution on the planet. There's all kinds of things that could have happened. I'm a big believer in evolution. I do think evolution happened. I do. Look, we have evidence of evolution everywhere on a daily basis. There's showings of evolution. So I'm a huge believer in that. Like I said, I'm a big believer in science to begin with. Now, with that said, I do think that, again, aliens might have been here in the past, sure. I also think, Stephen, and this is something that a lot of people don't think about, with the planet being here for, 4.5 billion years, as scientists say, right? That's the
somewhere in there.
Somewhere like that, right? With that kind of timeline, I believe that this planet has gone through several evolutionary periods where intelligent life has evolved, disappeared, evolved, disappeared. 4.5 billion years is a long time, folks. I do think that a lot of the maybe aliens that have come back over the years have been people that lived here, left the planet because of some kind of a catastrophe, came back, and now there's a whole new species running around. And what do you do then? You know what I mean? Do you go back and integrate with the new species, or do you stay off planet and wait for the right time to let them know that you're out there, that you're part of the planet? I think that could be also part of the answer, because let's be honest, it's really hard to travel from one star system to another. It's not easy. Yeah. Now, if you're a race of beings that are learning how to travel in space, and you could maybe colonize planets in your own solar system, in your own galaxy, you know, nearby star systems, whatever, that's easier to do. And I think we might have actually done that on this planet in previous billion years ago or 2 billion years ago, while evolution keeps happening over and over and over again. And look, we're doing it now. Human beings are going into space. We're traveling space. We want to, you know, explore. We're explorers, right?
Yes.
It's no different. It could have been the same way a billion years ago with a different humanoid species on this planet. There was an intelligent race.
Yeah.
So I think the answer might be that, well, the aliens are Earthlings also.
Sure, sure.
It's a very possible answer.
I've heard of this theory that maybe these spaceships that a lot of people see. There's three possibilities for this phenomenon. The one would be a black military project that has spaceships, flying saucers. Two, there are aliens that are in these, spaceships. And, three, there's a alternate human civilization somewhere on this planet, whether they're underground or they live out in outer space or something, but they're the ones that...
You know, there a lot of people talk about the USO phenomenon, you know, underwater sea objects.
Yes, yes.
And I am a believer that there could be some truth to that, because there are seen, a lot of UFOs are seen coming out of the oceans.
Yes.
So there, it's very credible that there could be something under the ocean that we just have no idea. I'm not a huge believer in the hollow earth theory, even though I'm fond of the theory. I think it's a neat idea.
Right.
And I have friends within the subject, Dennis Crenshaw, one of them. So, you know, it's a nice idea. And if it's true, it would be really cool to one day maybe see that. But, you know, I don't think it's very feasible if you really look at how the planet works, for there to be a hollow earth. Now, whether there's pockets within the Earth where life could evolve differently, maybe different beings could be living in there. Hey, like I said, maybe some of these beings that left a billion years ago because the planet went through some catastrophe, they came back and they said, "Well, we can't really mingle with the natives now, so
Right.
let's go underground and just lay a civilization out underground and not even bother with them."
Right.
And that could have happened. Look, in the book, The Time Machine, what
Yes.
happens in that book in the future?
It does. They travel, or he travels to the future, and
Right.
there's two civilization, one that's on top of the Earth, and one that's underneath,
Right. And it's
underground.
not so much a hollow earth. It's just they live within a pocket of the earth and they
Yes.
could habitate down there.
Yeah.
That could very well be true. I mean, nothing that in that idea is really out of the realm of possibility.
Right. I often hear this sometimes that whenever we get a little piece of technology, it's our government has had it for, like, well, maybe not our government, but some of these black groups have had it for like 40, 50 years. And who's to say that, well, we also hear about the alien sharing technology with the government.
Well, it's funny because I always say that the government's about 100 years more advanced in their technology than what they show the public and what we
Yes.
have.
Yeah.
The internet's been around since the 60s, but we didn't get it till the 90s.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, or at least the late 80s. So, the government, I'm sure, has different objects, crafts, all kinds of technology that we're not privy to. And that's fine with me. I mean, you have to develop certain things and use them a certain way. And also, look, even if the government had recovered a spaceship at some point and back engineered it, I could almost understand why they covered it up.
Sure.
Because, you want to have that kind of advantage over the rest of the planet who might consider you an enemy. So I understand it from a tactical standpoint, and I'm not mad at the government, for doing it if they did that. I really am not. I think there is a logical reason for it. Now, is it already time to start saying what they know? Maybe. I think there is. And a lot of the stuff that we get today, like fiber optics, they say came from Roswell. Microwave technology, they say came from Roswell. A lot of this stuff could have come from the crash at Roswell,
Well,
but
microwave technology goes back further than Roswell, though, because
yeah, exactly. But
radio
people.
waves are actually microwaves.
I know, but that's what people still say. Oh, well, the microwave came from Roswell. People actually say stuff like that. And why fiber optics and some other stuff might have come from Roswell. Here's the thing. Human ingenuity is an amazing thing. And I believe
It
a lot of
is,
this stuff
yeah.
just came from us human beings. Like you said, microwave, radio wave, we invented that stuff ourselves.
That's right,
We
back in the
discovered this stuff. People don't give people enough credit in this planet. It always must
Sure.
be the aliens' intervention.
You're
For
talking about
example, this whole thing with
George
the
Tsoukalos? It must be aliens.
it's always the aliens.
It's always
And I
aliens.
wasn't really going to talk about him too much, but now that you bring him up,
Yeah.
it always boggles my mind when I see stuff like ancient aliens and when they talk about Puma Punku and they talk about different things, which it's so really laughable. The one that really gets me is the little flying ships that have you seen this? What do you call it? The flying fish artifacts, the Tolima
Yes,
artifacts.
yes, yes. The ones that George and the other guy, the European guy, George.
And actually, rest in peace, Philip Coppens.
No, not that one. The one that George Tsoukalos parrots.
Eric Von Däniken.
Von Däniken, yeah.
Yes. No, but actually, there's a piece on Ancient Aliens on this subject, and Philip Coppens was on there, and he was a nice guy. I've actually interviewed him. He passed away about a year ago. But no, that whole thing is just really stupid. Those are fish, and these guys are making it out like if they were actually,
Yeah.
aircrafts.
And there are such things as a flying fish.
Yeah.
You can bring them
Yeah.
up on
I
YouTube.
guess they never seen flying fish, but here's the
Yeah.
thing. What makes it, really just, shake your head. It gives you like a shake your head moment when you watch this thing
With the
is when you
rattle.
hear Giorgio Tsoukalos say, "Oh, look, all they did was blow this thing up as an exact
Yeah.
replica. And now it flies."
Yeah.
But no, they didn't.
And
They
there's
added a
and
propeller, they added an engine, they added a landing gear, they took away the spiral things in the very front of the
Yeah.
fins, which would have made it completely unflyable. So they changed the curvature of the wings was different to be more like a plane. they changed it, but yet you could hear him lying right on video saying, oh, it's an exact replica. Well, it's not.
You know what their whole shtick is, Angel, is they
everything is aliens.
Everything is alien, and there's no other explanation.
Which it's completely false. I mean, there's always look, a real scientist would find the right explanation that fits whatever the subject that you're trying to explain, and they don't do that. They just throw everything to aliens and aliens and aliens. While I think there's some truth to the aliens, and you know what, I think the aliens have been here before, not everything is aliens.
That's right. Yep.
And it's unfortunate that they really promoted like everything is aliens, like the pyramids, for example. All the aliens must have built them.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been the humans.
Couldn't have been.
Oh, no, couldn't have been. But, you know, there is evidence that humans did build it. Oh, what about all that writing on the walls?
I think they've recently found out, a few scientists have actually found out how they did it. They had, some kind of scaffolding system that, they built it from the top down or something, or?
Well, there's the inner spiral theory where, actually this is getting a French gentleman. I'll look up his name up in a second. I can't remember his name offhand. But they talk about him on the Ancient Aliens Debunk, video. And, his theory is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's so good that even people that are in Egypt are saying, yeah, this is pretty much how they did it. And they're finding evidence of how, you know, how they did it, correlating to what he said, that he thinks is how they did it.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense. It's an inner spiral. You build it from the inside out, basically. And
the inside out. Yeah.
It makes so much sense. When you see the video, you see the way they describe how it was done.
Sure.
It makes it so easy to understand that this is the way it was. And there's even evidence still in the pyramids that this is exactly the way it was done.
Right. The spirals might still be there.
Yeah, you see the trackways. You see like the actual markings on the wall still from where these carts would be, pulling the log or the stones. I mean, look, the evidence is all there. But of course, if you're on Ancient Aliens, it must be aliens.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about Tsoukalos and Vandana again a little bit, if you might. I mean, besides more than what you've done, I know that there's a lot of just a lot of bunk about them.
Well, you know, Tsoukalos, I don't mean to like really bash the guy or anything like that. He has great hair.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I cannot stand looking at him.
He has great hair. I like Giorgio Tsoukalos. I think Giorgio, believe it or not, I think he is a fun guy to watch on TV. He's just not very credible or knowledgeable, unfortunately, within ufology. And I say that, you know, with in a lot of honesty, because if you listen to a lot of the interviews he's done, you know, even after he became really famous, the guy really doesn't know much outside of what Eric Van Däniken has put in his books. He's basically, like you said earlier, he's the parrot for Eric Van Däniken. That's really what he is. He repeats everything he's read in the books. He's very much like Michael Horn is to Billy Myers. You know, that kind of a representative.
I'm not Van Däniken, sure who those two people are, really.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, well, then I will explain to you in a second here.
Okay, go ahead.
Look, Van Däniken is famous for his books, but Van Däniken is getting old, right? Eventually, Van Däniken is going to pass away. So who's going to be the mouthpiece for the whole Van Däniken storyline? Giorgio Tsoukalos. He's going to be the one that they groom, and he takes over, and he'll be talking about that for the next 30 years. And, you know, talking about his books. The same thing is happening with Michael Horn and Billy Myers. Now, if you don't know who Billy Myers is a Swedish old man with one arm, who has taken some of the most bizarre UFO pictures in the history of the world, which is the best way you can describe it, because anybody who knows anything about filmmaking automatically would look at him and say, oh, this is all fake. But for some ungodly reason, his story has become world famous. He's one of the most famous so-called contactees on the planet. And he went as far as to post pictures of so-called aliens, Stephen, and I'm surprised you've never heard of Billy Myers, but he posted pictures of these alien women who were visiting him and abducting him since he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to know who these women were?
Probably actresses or something.
Very close. They were actually dancers for the Dean Martin show.
Oh, okay.
He took pictures on his TV with his camera. And, you know, this is back in the 60s or 70s when he took these pictures. So right. It's black and white, all messed up. Actually, I think a couple might have been in color. But anyway, they're, you know, really goofy looking pictures, kind of blurry and stuff. And he passed them off as authentic aliens for years. Nobody picked up on it until somebody said, wait a second, that looks like one of the dancers on the Dean Martin show.
Uh-huh.
And then sure enough, they debunked him and they said, you know, they put that out on the internet. But still people believe that Billy Myers is an authentic contactee. Mind you, his own wife has come forward and admitted that it was all a lie, that he's been lying to people for decades. And when I say decades, I'm talking about decades, man. Billy Myers goes back at least 40 years on this thing.
Oh, okay.
That, which is really why I'm surprised that you have no idea.
Well, I'm not as much into the ufology as you are, evidently.
Well, let's see. Like Billy Myers, he's from Switzerland. So if you guys want to look him up, it's Billy BillyMeier. Billy Meyer, as some of my friends like to call him, Billy Liar.
Billy Liar, yeah.
But that's neither here or nor there. He's 77 years old now. He's been at this for at least a good 30, 40 years, and I don't believe anything that he's ever said, because I've seen all his pictures and they're all phony. When you show me your evidence and it's all phony, I can't believe your story. And what he's done, he's tried to make himself into like this messiah figure type of guy. And he has his own like little group following, his little cult that he's built upon himself. And Michael Horn is his American mouthpiece.
Ah, okay.
For his storyline.
Sure.
Much like Virgil Tuklus is becoming for Eric Van Daniken.
Right.
So, I mean, these are the guys that really make, or give ufology a bad name, is people like these guys, Billy Myers and Eric Van Daniken, people who are just, you know, putting out there things that are not credible, can't be backed up with any real science, can't be proven. There's no basis on any of this stuff being real. But yet they promote it so heavily and have such a huge following, which becomes a cult following. And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's very, very dangerous. And, If you have any logical sense at all, if you look at Billy Myers' stuff, you'll know that it's all phony stuff. It's all fake. In fact, one of the funniest things, Stephen, that he put out there, he claimed that at one of his visitations with the aliens, he was taken to prehistoric times and he saw dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right? He took pictures of these dinosaurs with his camera because he always traveled with the camera. Guess where the pictures were really from?
Arizona or something?
No. No, he actually took pictures from a National Geographic magazine.
Oh, okay.
That showed artwork of dinosaurs with his blurry ass camera, took pictures of that, and he passed them off as authentic dinosaurs.
Right. Say, I got a caller. Are you listening to their caller?
Caller, you're on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
West of the Rockies?
Yeah. Or east.
East of the Rockies.
Okay, I'm not sure if they just want to listen or not, but.
Oh, well. Too bad. I would love to have a caller in.
Yeah. We were on, what were we on?
We were trashing Billy Myers.
Billy Myers, okay.
And Eric Van Daniken. I'm really shocked that you've never heard of Billy Myers. I know you're not too into the subject, but his case is really famous.
Huh. I guess I've never seen him on Ancient Aliens. I don't know.
Which is kind of surprising.
Yeah. I know there was another direction I wanted to go. You just happened to mention it a minute ago. I've seen pictures. Maybe you can refute them or debunk them or say that they're true. I've seen pictures of dinosaur footprints and with a human footprint right next to them.
Well, that's no way really to debunk or prove that. I mean, I wasn't there when the footprints were made. Unfortunately, here's the thing. That kind of stuff could be easily
faked.
Yeah. And that's another thing. There's really no way right now to prove anything anymore. You can't prove anything with footprints because that's easily faked. Video evidence of UFOs are easily made. You can CGI stuff easily. A 12-year-old in a computer in his basement could create a video of a UFO.
Surely, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so, they can also create a video of
a ghost or any kind of activity.
They can create a video of a plane crashing into a high-rise building too, because I've seen them videos. Not just the ones on September 9th. I do have another caller. I have a SJ from BC. He's kind of a regular caller. How you doing, SJ?
Yeah, I'm actually Revolution Radio's stunt call-in guy.
Stunt call-in guy, yeah.
Yeah, they pay me extra.
Oh, well, that's
all cool. All right, cool. Get the big bucks.
Yeah, I get the big bucks from the station. Of course, we're all volunteer, unpaid staff, but the distinction makes me feel better about,
You kind of like the subject matter like, there, SJ?
Yeah, there's nothing like crashing into an idea at 200 miles per hour. Nope.
Do you like the subject matter? Do you like the subject?
Well, I was waiting for you to bring up Sitchin, so you probably already did. But,
No, I haven't yet.
We haven't, shockingly enough. And
we've talked about all these guys. You know, Billy Meyer is old acquaintance of ours. We've discussed him in depth for hours on Revolution Radio, but you're not hip to that. I mean, but there's a lot of history on all these guys, and they're theoretical Mythos.
Yep.
Yep.
And look, Sitchin is notorious for lying to the masses for years. He made up so many things. And, you know, and shockingly, I didn't bring him up when I was talking about the Ancient Aliens Debunked, because I'm about to have Michael Heiser on my show coming up in the next few weeks.
Right, he's a good dude.
He's a really good dude. He has a website called SitchinIsWrong.com. Everybody needs to check this website out. He completely poops all over Sitchin's work. And I'm talking about it's brilliant, the video he puts on the internet just debunking Sitchin. Like about, I would say, 90% of what Sitchin said in all his books were just completely made up and lies. The rest of it was stuff that he took from actual history and weaved it into his little lie to make it seem authentic.
Angel,
that's what
Sitchin
was.
Isn't he the university professor?
He might have been a university
famous
professor.
Writer.
Yeah, he was a writer.
Paranormal investigator. Yeah.
So here's the thing. He never even had any credentials proving that he was an actual historian or scholar or knew the language
or translator
or anything.
I mean, Michael Heisner.
Oh, yeah. Michael Heisner. Yeah, he is a professor. Correct?
Okay.
Yeah. And a brilliant
guy. Sitchin's, however you spell it. One of the things that I found out is that a lot of the quotations from his ancient texts used the wrong definitions.
Correct. Yeah.
Of what other scholars had interpreted those words to be. I mean, the interpreted versions were not close at all to his theoretical concepts, his belief structure that he was creating. But I'll tell you, it was incredibly interesting and entertaining.
Very entertaining, yeah.
As long as you were willing to, you know, chew the whole bite, you know.
You know, one thing, though, that really gave a little credibility to Sitchin early on was that he had friends at NASA who entertained him and even had him on interviews and stuff. You can look it up online, where he interviewed folks at NASA, and they said, yeah, there could be another planet out there. And, of course, he was promoting the whole Planet X theory. And that's when he started coming up with the whole Anunnaki and, you know, everything else that he concocted later on. But, again, he made up so much, and he just, mistranslated things and really just made things up out of nowhere. Look, Michael Heiser made a brilliant case in showing how he completely butchered the Hebrew language. I'm not a Hebrew expert myself, so when I saw his video, I went in and started actually researching it for myself.
Oh, great.
Sure enough.
I lost the studio. Right. There it goes. Okay, the studio just came back. It dropped for a second, or about 30 seconds.
Occasionally. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I got it back.
You know, all of this stuff. There's a couple things when you're on public radio as a volunteer radio station exploring paranormal. Don't expect everybody to pay attention to what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
true.
You've got to repeat things for every new group of newbies that comes in, which is what you're doing a beautiful job of discussing this aspect of the paranormal research of the 20th and the 21st century now.
Yeah.
Remember 2012 came along? Wasn't that a disappointing end of the world?
Yes, it was. Or how about the millennial bug, huh?
Well, you know, it's funny because I did a broadcast right before the end game on 2012.
Mayan end calendar day.
Right before the day, I did a show, and I was like, tomorrow, this is the last day I'm going to go out broadcasting. I'm doing a special broadcast. I want to be like Woody Harrelson in that movie 2012. I'm going to be broadcasting before the world ends. And then I threw a celebration party when the world didn't end the next day. And look, there is so much bogus stuff out there. The thing is, people are always captivated by things that make them scared. And the end of the world is a scary thought. And they like to play up to that kind of thing. They did the same thing with 99 and with the Millennium Calendar. All the computers are going to break down. It's going to be a disaster worldwide, globally. Nothing happened. Alex Jones was on air, you know, saying all kinds of things were happening.
I remember that.
He was saying, yeah, bombs are going off and computers are breaking down in NASA and, oh my goodness, there's all this crazy stuff going on. And literally nothing was happening anywhere.
Something happened, though. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people bought generators and storable food.
Exactly. It was good for the economy.
It was, yeah.
It was great for the economy, but nothing technically happened anywhere. I mean, it was just a normal day, but yet he was on air just, blabbering his mouth. And he's another one, another con artist like Billy Myers and Van Danek. And he really is. I mean, the guy has made so much money on BS and BSing the public for the last, two, three decades now. And look, Milton Cooper, William Milton Cooper, you know, for all the stuff that he talked about and all the stuff he got into and all the debunking that he wanted to do, he did one thing which I will always thank him for. He completely took on Alex Jones and tore him apart.
He did, yeah.
Tore him to pieces. I can never respect Alex Jones again after seeing what, you know, he did with and what Cooper did to him. I never have any respect for that guy. He's a con artist. He's a clown.
Well, people should go out and watch the video about Jack Blood and Alex Jones, too.
That's another good one. Yeah.
I really can't.
I talked to Jack when he was on the other network for about 2012, I think, or 13.
Uh-huh. I had
it was
him
really
on
the interesting what belief structures. See, we're in a period of time where people feel that they can legitimately make their own belief structure. And some of it includes right. aliens, and some of it includes, you know, every version of things that people have talked about until they hear the following information that came out, as you were just talking about, you know, basically a little bit of revelation, you know, countering the false leads. That's the only thing I don't like about him is he goes on these rants, dumps a bunch of bad information on, never apologizes for it, and
right.
frequently doesn't go backwards to go, oh, yeah, I was totally wrong about the end of the world, by the way. Sorry. We've postponed it. It's 3 years down the road. Read my new book.
Yeah. Buy my new video.
Yeah, get to buy the new video, please, you know.
Gotta love Prison Planet.
That's it. That's his solution. That's all there is. Well, okay. What's the solution, Alex? Well, buy my videos and get my books.
Make me rich. Make me more yeah. money. You know, it's
get, my like t-shirts.
Anybody who tells me, oh, I'm a big fan of Alex Jones, man. I love his stuff. I'm like, okay, let me ask you a question. How did Alex Jones walk into the Bohemian Grove, take all that video, walk out, put it on the internet, and not get killed
that's
if
right.
he is realistic?
That's right.
No, folks, he's a plant for the New World Order. He is feeding misinformation. The guy's a scumbag, basically, and he's been doing this to fool the masses for the last two decades.
Well, he's
that's
been,
Alex Jones.
He's been
well, he's a good distraction, and the whole point of political, well, basically military thinking was distract the enemy.
Yes.
Right. Of course, it's sort of uncomfortable to realize after all these years of paying taxes, helping people out, being a nice guy in general, I'm now a terrorist.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was when 9/11 came on and they threw that the Patriot Act at us.
We don't have much time left,
Jack. I along with hundreds of other people actively contacted all of our representatives and said, "What are you doing? Has anybody read this yet?" You know, nobody came back with a, oh, yeah, I read it thoroughly. I mean, you know, we read it thoroughly. Mm-hmm. We even managed to get a hold of the Patriot Act before they voted on it. And it was ridiculous.
SJ.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, but we don't have much time left here.
Oh, go for it.
No, I wanted to, I just wanted to say that Alex Jones serves two purposes. He's co-opting a lot of the people that want to be patriots, but don't know about the real patriot movement. He's co-opting them, and he's also serving the purpose of whipping up the masses.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what he does. He whips up the masses into a frenzy, and he gets everybody complaining and fighting, and
that's right.
Causes even more hysteria.
Yeah, well,
with nonsense.
Very, very quickly, Angel, tell everybody how you can be contacted and watched and seen and heard.
Can I plug myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah, you can check my shows out every Tuesday night. Like I said, 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 a.m. Eastern, Skywatchers Radio on psn-radio.com. Look up the jackal.com. All my stuff is in there. thajackal.com. And also listen to me Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Future Theater with Bill and Nancy Burns.
Yeah, that's going
to
be
big shout outs to them. I love the Burns. They're great people, and it's a lot of fun working with the two of them.
Does Bill still have his own show? Does Bill still have that show?
That's the show, Bill and Nancy Burns. That's
no, I mean the TV show he was on.
Oh, UFO Hunters.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that show is no longer on the air, but I'm sure Bill will eventually get back on TV. He's a very bright individual, and I think they want him back on TV pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure when the music's coming up here, but...
Well, another 4 minutes.
Cool.
Is it 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes. It depends on how the auto broadcast is set up for the break time.
Well, all right.
Is there any way I can ask a question before then?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. One thing I really wanted to know is I'm not sure if I heard it right, but you're talking about Billy Myers' wife come up there and did a little debunkation, right?
Yeah, his wife actually debunked his story. She divorced him a few years ago, well, several years ago now, and she came out publicly saying that he lied and it was all a hoax.
Okay. And back in that time period, I don't know, when I listen to stuff, I have a couple things I trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things that guide me. One is, you know, everybody, their heart, there's gray matter, you know, same material that your brain is made of. And the second thing is your gut. Between the combination of those two, you can feel what is right, what's wrong, okay? I feel like it may be a combination. I'm just guessing, right?
You're right.
And I kind of feel like, you know, back in that area, people were like threatened. And could it be possible that they threatened his life, telling her that if you do this, he will live. If you don't do this, he'll die. And then, and the same thing around, maybe the aliens really, well, I don't want to say aliens. That's like a stupid reference, right? Those beings, maybe, it was an experimental type thing, and maybe he was deceived, and who knows, maybe he did see some of the things he actually saw, but maybe they made him see what they wanted him to see, what they wanted him to see through his eyes. I mean, okay.
Well, anything is possible, but just to give you a quick answer, most likely Occam's Razor, it says that he was just a guy who wanted to get famous, and this is the way he got famous. And he used you know, a method that was popular, UFOs. UFOs has been popular for the last 60 years in media, whether it's movies or TV or whatever. You know, the number one movie of all time is about aliens. So that tells you right there that this is a very popular thing, and he used it as a way to get famous. And he's done everything in the book that you can look at as a hoaxer to get famous.
Right, and what I'm kind of speaking about it is I've looked many times. There's other people that were watching him very closely throughout the years, and like were right there, right then, and seeing things with their own eyes, and I'm just saying from all the evidence. I mean, this is a subject matter I've really dived into in the past, and I'm thinking, yes, I believe there was a lot of deceit, but I think there was a lot of real weirdness going on at the same time.
Yeah, maybe anything is possible.
Yes, anything is possible. It's all up to your imagination of your mind.
If we had more time, I would expand more on that, but I think we're all out of time. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, I think we are. I need to be dropping the stream anyways because I got to drop two of the other streams.
There
so I hope somebody gets on. Hope there's no dead air after I drop this, but I'm going to say goodbye. I want to thank Hawk for the Revolution Radio stream today on Studio A. I want to thank Angel for the PSN radio stream.
No problem.
I want to thank Chris O'Brien over there in Ireland for the Alt-Ireland radio stream, and I want to thank Larry Overman for my Paranoia TV stream. So I will see everyone next Sunday. I have a very special guest coming on. He's a presidential candidate, Robbie Wells, for 2016. He'll be coming on next Sunday.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And I agree. He needs to win.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great guy. But I'm going to go ahead and let studio go here because it's 5 p.m. and I'm supposed to be done. So see everyone next Sunday.
Good night, everybody. Ball. Thank you again for having me on.
Yeah. You're all welcome. Thanks there, SJ, for coming on too. And thanks, caller.
Betcha.
Goodbye, everyone.